This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 154, where today AC and CJ are going to talk from the Microsoft about the Microsoft Ignite Conference 2016, recorded right now.
Live!
Right now. How's it going, man?
Very good, very good. Yeah. How are you?
Doing good. First live show, man.
Oh, it's kind of nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It is a little nerve-wracking. It's a little little crazy, especially the whole lead-up to it in the last, like, 20 minutes.
Oh, it's been a wild week. And look, we've got guests.
We actually have real guests here. This is awesome.
Live from Ignite.
And we're official. We got stickers. We got stickers this week.
We're actually like a real podcast.
It took 3 years, but we got it.
I know.
We needed a little bit of practice.
Yeah, so how are you enjoying the week?
I'm enjoying the week a lot. I'm actually not speaking this week, so it's nice to have a little bit of a not as much of a schedule that you got to be having demos prep for and everything, but it's good. It's a good conference. It's absolutely massive. Absolutely massive, and it's just but a lot of fun. How about
you? Excellent. Well, obviously, super busy week. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in the show, but it's been really nice. Been walk around the expo hall. This place is enormous.
It is. I mean, not just the expo hall is enormous, but there's three buildings. For those of you who aren't here, there are three buildings at the conference center. We've got A, B, and C, and they're like kind of long rectangular buildings, and there's one connector between B and C. So it can be a bit challenging to kind of find your way around and to get where you, and there's different levels. And
I think most people are doing about 20 to 25,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
I think the pedometers are going crazy.
I think I did 10,000 steps just to get to here. I tried to do the shortcut. The shortcut didn't work so well because they had things shut off before the expo opened, but
We're here.
We're doing a live show.
So what are we doing?
So we're going to do, like we always do, man. Let's do a little bit of news. There's been some news that came out in the last few days.
Just a couple of things.
Just a few things. So let's do the stuff that we talked about. We've gotten some stuff if you've been paying attention to the show this week. We've actually published a couple episodes. There's a few that are going out actually right now.
Yep.
That are some of these little shorter episodes. And we'll talk more about what those are, what we did this week. But I thought we'd start out with the news that kind of broke in the last like day or the last 24 hours or so. The first big one that we had was Microsoft and Bank of America. Announced a partnership around working together on blockchain technology. This was really cool. So they're going to work to kind of put different things together to make sure to work on industry standards on how they can leverage blockchain as a service.
So am I going to be able to go buy funds and Bitcoin from Merrill Lynch?
Oh, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Microsoft's behind it. Things are looking good. You want to grab one of our other bits of news here that we got?
Yeah, so the next one on the cards is the Azure CLI V2 is coming out. So for any devs in the audience or listening in, this is all about being able to spin up and work with your Azure instances and things, command line interface, CLI.
Yep.
And they come out with V2, and apparently it's written in Python.
That kind of blew my mind. I was looking at the news last night and looking at Hacker News, and I saw that pop up, and it goes, and it's written in Python. I was like, if you want to go cross-platform, I thought it would be .NET Core. That's what I was expecting, but Python, I was like, well,
yeah,
hey,
Python's pretty popular, and if they're doing it in the open, then they, you know, obviously want tons of people to contribute, you know, bug fixes and feature changes and things. So maybe Python is the way to go.
Absolutely, I did see too that they've actually shipped it as a Docker container as well. So if you want to try it out, you don't have to really install a whole lot of stuff.
Yep.
It's just Docker run, space, put the command in there, and it pulls the image right down. You can just work right straight from your machine. So it doesn't matter if you're on Linux, Mac, Windows, make it really easy to work with. And if you're the type that doesn't like to install beta stuff, or you're like, I don't want Python on my machine,
yep,
that's fine. It's in a container. Throw it away when you're done.
Nice.
Microsoft doesn't want you to throw it away. But I mean, just throw it away when you're done.
And containers we're going to talk about more a little later in the show.
That's
kind of part of the big news at Ignite as well. So
it really is. It really is. We had a good interview just a minute ago, too, that we'll talk about as well about that.
Absolutely.
Hey, another bit of a general availability announcement here is that Azure DNS is now gone live as well. So you can now use Azure to manage your domain names, which is going to be really nice, your domain names that you're using in Azure.
Yeah, we have quite a few domain names, both personally and in professional lives, and I don't like going into GoDaddy to do this. So
I don't either.
I'd love to switch it all to Azure and do it through that. So I'm looking forward to playing around with that and switching a few over and seeing what it's like.
I'll put you on the spot a little bit. What is the craziest domain name you think you've ever bought?
Oh, gosh.
That's clean for the show.
Oh.
I just narrowed it way down.
That's even harder. Gosh, I don't know.
I stumped you. How about this one? I have one.
Yeah.
So years ago, we kind of came up with a whole like SharePoint by day, SharePoint by night.
Oh, yeah.
And someone was like, oh, it's now Office 365. And at the time, it was really hard as developers to kind of really figure out, you know, figure your place out. You can't do server-side code and everything. So I was like, Yeah, I think 365 pints is a good way to go. And so I bought 365 pints and then actually went out and bought 365 steins because it was getting to be that kind of thing.
Maybe we could do a share pint at Oktoberfest and then we'd definitely get into the steins.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. We have the podcast Gulfstream 5 is right outside. We're going to jump on that, head over to Oktoberfest after this, right? A little celebratory drink. Anybody want to join us?
Settle down. All right, G5 to Oktoberfest it is.
We'll be right back for the sessions later this afternoon.
So next thing on the cards, moving right along, is Feature Pack 1 for SharePoint Server 2016.
Hey, this was one of the promises that Microsoft had about shipping more often and more frequent with SharePoint 2016. Once they release it, be able to do more stuff. This one's interesting. They said that there's a bunch of things they highlight on what's new here. The logging of administrative actions performed in central administration and with PowerShell, enhancements to the min role with support for small environments, a new OneDrive for business user experience, another OneDrive user experience.
How many OneDrives are we up to?
I think I'm on my fifth OneDrive. custom tiles for the app launcher. I saw that Office 365 got a new app launcher in the last day or two.
Yeah, that's looking pretty sweet. I think the big thing for me with this is that they're actually doing it.
Yeah, that's me too, yeah.
Tipa came out, or Jeff Tipa, who runs the SharePoint team, came out, I think it was May 4th event, mm-hmm. was talking about the release of SharePoint 2016, and said we're going to do these feature packs and these upgrades and updates. And so I know we've spoken about it a bunch of times where I sort of said, I think this will be the last big release of SharePoint, mm-hmm. and then they're going to start doing these more incremental things, and I think this is what we're seeing playing out.
Nailed it.
Yeah, maybe.
We got a prediction that we got right there, right?
One of the few.
Yeah, why don't you grab our next one here? This is a fun one.
Yeah, so this one is quite funny. Leading on from our Circling the Drain episode.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, we had like four or five people come up to us at a pre-event. There was a Nintex party, I think, on Sunday night. We had two or three people come up to us like going, hey, I'm an OpenText guy. Hey, I'm a Documentum guy. We lost it. We absolutely lost it. And another guy comes up and goes, hey, I'm Documentum too.
Yeah, we got in a little trouble for that one, but it was a fun episode nonetheless. But anyway, moving right along to Circling the Drain, Yammer Enterprise is going away in 2017. So this is not Yammer is not going away.
No, it's
Yammer is actually, I'd say is getting a second wind coming maybe next year.
Yep.
But Yammer Enterprise is the standalone SKU for way to buy Yammer just by itself.
Yep.
And that's what they're getting rid of.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me, right? It's in part of 365. It's turned on by default. Goodness knows why you'd want to buy it by itself. But anyway. That getting rid of it.
And they talked about it in the blog post. And again, like all of our shows, we'll have links in the show notes for this episode up on our site when we publish the episode too, for those who didn't get to listen to it live. But they talked about there's tighter integration with Office 365 groups, which really that's what was expected. That's what we would need to have. Let's put things more together. They talked about there will no longer be notes in Yammer. They will instead be, by default, if you try and create a note in Yammer, it'll go straight as a Word doc, and it'll be saved in an Office 365 group. It just makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It just makes sense. So they're moving in the right direction with that.
I don't think they're going to cut people off, but you just won't be able to buy it through the site standalone.
Right, and that's what they said. They're going to stop doing the sales pitch, the sales part of it, where you won't be selling Yammer individually.
Gotcha.
This one was kind of interesting because I watched the news yesterday as it was going on, and I know some of our guests posted some stuff on Facebook as well, and we saw hey, look, I think VentureBeat had the title of Microsoft is killing Yammer Enterprise. We'll start integrating into Office 365 groups first. And then there was a couple posts that came out right around that goes, no, they're not killing it. And it was just kind of going back and forth, and it's like, the media is trying to figure this out too. It's I read the post and I was a little confused. I'm like, it didn't clear it up. I'm still a little lost. But
yeah, and some sensational headlines and things too. So
nobody does that.
Nobody. And we'll talk about the confusion about groups and Yammer and this new thing coming from Skype a little later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So why don't we do a little bit of a recap of some of the main bits of news announced at the keynotes and things like that. I know we did a podcast where we talked a little more in depth about this, but why don't we just sort of skim through some of the highlights and talk about those.
Yeah, and absolutely. This time you get to listen to it without listening to the back of the bus, where
we were literally in the back of a bus recording a podcast.
The last row of the bus, no one was back there. People in the front said they could hear us talking, and you could hear at one point, let's just say it worked pretty hard to try and background noise level out the engine, but you hear this roar of an engine just trying to get up the street for 15 minutes, and then it immediately changed, and you could hear background noise of people, and it's like, now we're in the conference center, things are getting cleaner.
Exactly, yeah. We've got to get them out, so.
I think I think the biggest news, there was two really big pieces of news from the keynote. The first one was about the Adobe Microsoft partnership. And I think, you know, this has kind of been, I don't want to say it's been a long time coming. I know it's not, it's, these deals are not, don't happen overnight.
Yep.
But I know that Microsoft's been working on this for a while. And Adobe came out and said, you know, our preferred cloud is Azure. And they're working on their getting their products to be much more integrated, much more hosted and everything with Azure to really bet the farm. That's a really big win, especially from the stuff that we've seen with the Google Cloud Platform with some of their big wins, with like Spotify and some of the other guys that have joined them recently.
Yeah, it's nice to see some good positive news of people moving to Azure, big names and so forth. Like we've covered in the news before, you know, Google got a couple of goodies recently, and sort of Azure are counterpunching with Boeing moving to Azure, and now this, it's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, Microsoft has a partnership with Sitecore and Azure as well for offering web content management solutions.
Yep.
And Adobe also has some of those similar offerings. So we'll see a little bit of argy-bargy in the Microsoft cloud world coming up around WCM.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, like in the sales in the field and everything, because you know which one your official partner with both of them, but one was like the highlight on the keynote. So it's kind of like, how does that play? But I mean, yeah, it's nice to see Microsoft doing that though from the WCM perspective. As we've spent a lot of time in that space, going way back to the content management
server.
Didn't
you write a book or something?
I think so.
You're the WCM guy. There's life left in you yet.
Only because no one else grabbed it. but yeah, it was nice to see Microsoft kind of like step away from WCM from the SharePoint perspective, because it really wasn't the product for WCM to be hosted. As much as we tried to do it, and as much as I believed it for a while, it kind of came around. It's like, I don't really think it's the right thing. They did the same thing. And so having a pure play of a CMS outside of SharePoint, it's a really good thing. Hosted on Azure makes perfect sense.
It was great for a while, but the features have moved on about what people expect from WCM solutions. Be interesting to see what Adobe and Microsoft do in the space in Azure over the next few months. But Satya wandered out on stage. It was in the middle of the keynote in the morning, and they sort of popped him out on stage with the CEO of Adobe.
Yeah.
And they talked through the deal and gave us a little heads up about that. But great to see it happening and a nice win for Azure.
Yeah, that was a cool experience. I'm actually here as part of the media this week, and so they took me in, got to sit down on the floor in these like special like workbenches and everything. It was interesting because they told us they wanted us to like live tweet a bunch of stuff out, but they put us on the same Wi-Fi network as the other 18,000 people that
physics
were
physics got in the way.
It was a little tough, yeah. Even I literally had a Wi-Fi like one of those big circle hubs that they have sitting up around the place, sitting like two seats away from us. And I remember Laura Rogers and I were trying to get connected. Like, does it work for you? I'm like, doesn't work for me. So my phone was trying to get on. It's like, let me send that tweet. And 10 minutes later, there's a tweet showing up.
Nice bit of Wi-Fi radiation there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Some other news we had, Windows Server 2016 GA'd.
This is a really, really big deal, I think. And it's not, I mean, we're not server guys so much. I mean, we're more cloud and Devy kind of guys, but there's a piece of this that is just absolutely epic in the Windows ecosystem. And that's the fact that it brings, we've said it, containers are coming. Winter's here, containers are here.
Containers are now here.
Containers are totally here. And now you can actually have Windows containers native, either in Windows Server 2016, or in Windows 10 Anniversary Update. You don't need to install anything. You're pretty much ready to go. There's, I think it was 4 lines of PowerShell you need to run on your Windows 10 Anniversary Update machine to get it working. Or you can go to docker.com and grab Docker for Windows and install that. And there's no command line stuff you got to run. You just install that, 150, 200 meg install, you're off to the races.
Yeah, and we spoke to Taylor Brown this morning for another episode. We've had him on the show before, and he's a great guy.
Absolutely.
Really, really great guy.
Yeah.
We talked about containers and virtualization and Windows, and they're just pumped to get this out. So
they really are. And hearing some of the stuff of how they're using it and how it's changing Microsoft internally, we'll talk about more of them the other episodes that we did this week, but I do want to call that one out, what Taylor was saying. There's a couple things there that, to me, just it shows that there's something different about this. First of all, from Tech Preview 5 to GA, he said that the speed improvements, they were 2x.
2x, yeah.
2x performance improvements. That's huge. They got all the networking stuff hashed out. And now it doesn't matter if you're using a Windows Server or you're using Windows Core 2016.
Yep.
It all just works. Same way on an Anniversary Update, Windows 10 or on Windows Server, so you've got that nice and clean. But the thing I think that really nails it home to me that Microsoft is really changing here is that the second biggest contribution that we've had to the Docker engine is done by, outside of Docker, has been done by Microsoft. And it's not the fact that Microsoft is doing it, it's that you've got traditional C++ Windows operating system engineers, which is by far the farthest thing from open source you can possibly get, right?
it's the original non-open source.
I know, I think there's like, they're at this level, and then like the NSA is like right here, like right behind that. Yeah. But it seems these are the guys that are doing the contributions, they're writing their stuff in Go, they're on the, in Golang, they're doing the contributions to the Docker engine to make Docker better, but also to bring Windows support to it. And that's huge.
Yeah, what I was amazed at in the conversation with Taylor was about how they're using containers inside of Windows for some things as well now.
Yeah.
So Project Centennial, which was, well, the code name Project Centennial, was all about getting Windows, like Win32 apps into the Windows Store.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you download one of those Win32 apps, part of the virtualization technology is it runs in containers behind the scenes.
Yep.
So they're able to do the security and isolation and things like that using containers for that piece of technology, which I thought was really cool to start seeing it being used in Windows like that.
I did too. I thought it was really interesting. We've even got, as far as like containers go as, and Microsoft is concerned, we're going to have some really interesting interviews coming up in the next month or two around like the big project that Google uses to maintain their entire engine behind the scenes, Kubernetes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to one of the main developer evangelists for Google and talk about Kubernetes, and then we're going to bring on somebody from Microsoft who was one of the original developers of Kubernetes at Google, who now works for Microsoft. Hey, a little interesting. I'm looking forward. Like, we'd like to talk about this. He goes, oh, I'd love to come on the show and share some stuff. I'm like, we would too. Can we record it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you subscribe to the show, the interview that we have with Taylor Brown, that's going to be episode 155. That'll come out right after this episode comes out because we finished that. Actually, I think we finished that while we were finishing our coffees before this show. So we came straight there to do this.
Yeah, it was a fascinating chat.
Yeah. So what other stuff do we see in the recap?
So Azure Monitor.
Oh, this is cool.
New analytics and reporting tool in Azure to keep an eye on everything going on in Azure and also on-prem as well, from what I understand.
That was really interesting, yeah. So Donovan Brown got up there and he showed that this is apparently live today in Azure. I haven't had a chance to look at my portal yet to take a look at it. But what this does is that this allows you to have one view into the performance and the upgrade status of all of your different machines, like IaaS machines that are in Azure, and see that the not just Windows, but also Linux machines as well, and it can reach into machines that you have on premises that you've added to the monitor to be able to check those things as well. I'm assuming there's some sort of a little agent that you probably install. But to that, I mean, that to me sounds like you could even go through and install or have it monitor IaaS machines or virtual machines you have in other public clouds as well.
Right.
But you have one view that you can see all that stuff. What does the performance look like? It was really good. I found that really interesting. Be able to dive in, see the logs. And it wasn't just VMs too. He was showing websites, he was showing databases, stuff like that. Anything that's like, it's like the operations manager but hosted in Azure for us.
Yeah, I think one of the scariest things about running anything in the cloud is that you can't sort of reach out and touch it like you could with stuff running on servers. And so anything you can do to get more insight into how your app's running, is it going well, is it up, is it down, is it performing, things like that will really help. I know running our service, it's terrifying to think that you know, that your code's out there and you can't just sort of poke on it and see what's happening. So we do a lot of work around instrumentation for performance and things like that to tell us, is it going as it should?
Yeah.
And I can't wait to take a look at this.
Yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah, what else we got?
We got one more thing here, and that was the Azure Stack. Azure Stack Technical Preview 2 came out, and the Azure Stack is being able to, let's overstate it, it's taking Azure and putting it on your own servers, right? Which, it's not really overstating it, but that is what's happening, but you're not bringing a big big facilities in.
Yep.
Microsoft has partnered up with some other partners like HP and Dell and some other ones as well around approved hardware to where you can install Azure Stack and bring a lot of the advances, a lot of the benefits we have from Azure into your own premises. So there are businesses that can't go to the cloud, regulatory reasons or whatever reasons those are. And so they'll be able to benefit from the same way of being able to spin up virtual machines or be able to spin up websites or be able to do things with, like, say, Service Fabric or databases and stuff. There's a lot of things that Azure Stack can do. And I think it can be treated as almost like a gateway drug to getting a company to just kind of embrace this whole model and then being able to let, I don't want to manage this. I'll let Microsoft manage it for me.
Yeah.
But I think that it does give people that the ability to say, I want those features, but I can't go there to get those features. Hey, you can do them here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at DockerCon, Mark Rusinovich showed a really kick-ass demo with Azure Stack and Docker and things like that, and Windows containers. And he showed a Docker Swarm running across a set of nodes, and he ran some containers on that, and then sort of pointed out, well, one of those nodes is back on-prem running in Azure Stack, which was pretty cool. And he lifted up a blanket, and there was a server sitting there and things, and it was all connected up to these other nodes in Azure. And then he showed running some Linux containers in Azure as well, and some Windows containers running, and then also showed you know, how all that worked together in connectivity. And then showed SQL Server running in a container.
So, for the first time.
For the first time ever, which was really exciting.
Yeah, on Linux.
On Linux as well, which was even cooler. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess Azure Stack Technical Preview 2, we all thought it was going to be GA by now, but it got pushed out to mid-next year. So they're sort of keeping us, you know, up to speed with what's going on with another technical preview.
Yeah, they are. They are. They said that they wanted to expand the program a bit. They wanted to have another release of it and kind of go. They've had a lot of really good work they've done with a bunch of partners. And so they just wanted to expand that program and get more information from it.
So what about SharePoint?
Man, I tell you what, I've seen a dashboard. A gentleman named John White, an MVP out there, big guy with Power BI. We talked to him and Jason Himmelstein in an episode I'll touch on in just a little bit here. But he's put together a dashboard that kind of watches all the tweets that are going on around the Microsoft Ignite conference.
Mm.
And guess what term is the most used term for this entire conference?
SharePoint.
Azure and Office 365 kind of dance back and forth for the next two. But yeah, SharePoint has got like almost like, it seemed like almost a 2-to-1 or like a, you know, 1.75-to-1. Seeing the amount of interest there. And it's, I thought last year at Ignite, we saw a lot of people asking about SharePoint, like, what's new? What's up?
Yeah.
Right? And there was 2016, there was news around that, but it wasn't a GA yet. And they were talking about, you know, hey, look, you know, something's coming. But then this time, there's a lot of interest around SharePoint and a lot of questions around, you know, what they're doing and all that stuff. So it's nice to see, as somebody who's spent a lot of time in SharePoint, the two of us have, It's nice to see the interest level back there again.
It is, definitely. And it's definitely surging, for sure. I think the last couple of years have been a little dull for SharePoint, let's put it that way.
Yep.
And it's nice to see the interest picking back up. And I think part of that is Jeff coming back to the team.
Jeff Tepper
coming back to the team. The May the 4th event, he was talking about where they're going with the product and so forth. And then this event's really been about updating everybody, showing what they've been doing to that plan, and sharing a little bit of that. So it's nice to see them delivering, and that they've got a great spokesperson to sort of, you know, hold the torch for them now, and things are picking back up, which is great.
We're going to have him on the show, actually. We're going to interview him tomorrow and have him on the show, so stay tuned to that episode.
We've got to keep the tough questions for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're still putting those together. I might come out of there with a black eye. His handler may not like me.
Don't go all fanboy on us now, AC.
I'm trying. Hey, you know, one thing about Ignite, too, is that, you know, it really is a replacement for the Tech Ed conference, right? And it wasn't so much... it's not so much of a developer-focused thing. There's a lot of Windows stuff here. There's a lot of security, a lot of analytics and stuff. But there's been a little bit of developer stuff, and we're on the developer side. And I know one of the things that Microsoft is really spending a lot of time talking about here at Ignite is the SharePoint framework, right?
Yeah.
Something they've been working on for quite a while here. We talked to Mike Ammerlain yesterday, an episode that we'll publish soon, too, about talking about the SharePoint framework and learning more about it. It's a really different way of doing SharePoint. I don't want to call them SharePoint solutions, but SharePoint things. Let's just call them SharePoint
not
things.
Not features,
nope.
Not solutions.
No, nope, not SharePoint. No, can't do that. Little box of XML? Nope.
It was a great great chat with Mike. And he's obviously, for those of anybody who's been in the SharePoint world for any length of time, will know Mike. He's been around for a long time. He took a little hiatus and went mapping for a while, and now he's back. So it's great to see him back in the team and talking about SharePoint development again. He's super knowledgeable. I worked with him on the SharePoint engineering team for a while.
You worked for him for a little bit,
too,
didn't you?
I worked for him for a while, yeah, exactly. And we did sandbox solutions.
You're the guy.
No. Definitely not. It was definitely Mike.
Did you do SharePoint Designer, too?
No.
And InfoPath, didn't you?
No.
That's why you're not there anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Somebody had to be the punching bag. Come on. So, no, Mike's awesome. We worked together many years ago, and he's super knowledgeable about SharePoint. He understands the pain that SharePoint developers have gone through, and he understands the frustrations they're now having looking at the SharePoint framework and going, whoa, this is totally different and new, and freaking out and not quite sure what to do. So. Yep. I think he'll really help get that across and get developers up and running with it.
Yeah, and he got a lot of perspective too, because when he left the SharePoint team, I think he went to Yammer for a little bit when Microsoft acquired Yammer, and so you saw he got to see a very different way of building product than what Microsoft traditionally does. And then he spent time at the Bing Maps team, but yeah, I think that perspective, and then coming back so many years later, being involved in the add-in model, now being involved in the SharePoint framework, it's going to be interesting to see how he messages this, now he works on it. He's spending more time on the marketing side too. So it's a great guy to have to it. It's somebody, at least it's nice to see someone that you've got a lot of trust in to do
he's
that.
He's got a lot of respect.
Yeah, and he doesn't snowball it. He's very much he'll give it to you very, very, very cut and dry in what's going on. So.
Yeah, and he's an engineer at heart as well. So he knows this stuff inside out.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to the whole thing we did with the keynote too, watching Satya. I mean, Satya's easy to believe because you see the passion. You see that in you.
Yeah,
you trust him.
It comes naturally
to him. Doesn't feel like a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, one other really cool thing before we move on that I thought was really interesting was hybrid Microsoft Graph.
That blew my mind. We ran into Yina Arenas on the show floor. She showed me what they were doing. My goodness.
Yeah, it's really cool. So this is, at the moment, the Microsoft Graph, you can call and you can get information in and out of things like Azure Active Directory, SharePoint lists and libraries and things now in the Microsoft Graph, which is pretty cool, and lots of Exchange stuff. But it's only for Office 365 today.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an on-prem or a hybrid customer, you obviously can't call the Graph right now, but that's starting to change.
Mm.
And the first cab off the rank in that regard is around Exchange. So you'll be able to reach in to people's mailboxes and calendars and things, whether their mailbox is in the cloud in Office 365 or back on premises in their own, in Exchange servers running on prem. And so for app developers, this is really exciting, right?
Because
there's nothing worse in your app than having to sort of, do a ton of if statements saying, if they're on prem, do this, if they're online, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And having one throat to choke, so to speak, with the Microsoft Graph will be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see more of those APIs come to the Graph in the hybrid, in that sort of hybrid scenario. Things like AD calls for user profiles would be very helpful for me. So I'm sort of waiting for that to show up.
What do you mean helpful? So we're talking about what's new here and everything at the conference, but what do you mean what's new for you? What's up? Is that
this?
What's up with that?
This is a little project I've been working on for the last year.
Oh, so what is it a fish? What's with the fish?
It's Hyperfish. Come on.
Hyperfish. Tell me a little bit about Hyperfish.
We're here at the show. We're launching our first product. We've been furiously building over the last 12 months. We've got a booth just down over there, actually.
Oh, yeah, there
you
it is.
You might be able to see it. I'm not sure. But we're talking to everybody about what we've been up to and all of that sort of stuff and getting started.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it from you.
Yeah, you hear enough about it from me.
I talk to you enough. I talk to you an hour about it every week. I don't need to hear about it from you. So
why don't we get Brian Cook up, who's the CEO of Hyperfish,
Let's get your boss up here. Brian, come on up and join us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Brian.
Hey,
good to see you.
Good to see you, mate.
Good to see you.
Long
CJ.
Time no see.
Come on.
Hey.
So you're a native from New Jersey. I can tell from the accent, right?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Hyperfish. I know you and CJ kind of came up with this. You guys were hanging out on a deck and just listening to, shooting the breeze. And
CJ's got a huge deck. He has all the kids play there safely. It's all good.
Yeah.
But we've known each other for a bunch of years, and we're hanging out, and we're thinking, we'd love to create a company, and I'd love to create another company. And we're thinking about what are one of the most frustrating problems that partners and customers have, and it's the fact that everything relies on Active Directory content, but the content doesn't seem to be there. So that's the problem we went to solve.
Yeah, all the demos you see that people do at like these kind of conferences, they all show these great thing, Garth Jones and all those people are up there. They see great directories, a bunch of like hierarchies and everything. And I remember when I was in a Fortune 500 and I look at it and say, ours doesn't look like that. Ours looks like crap. So what does your product do? What does it do to kind of help people to fix that problem?
Yeah, I guess what we found is when we look deeply at the problem is that it's not just a technology problem, it's a human behavioral problem.
Mm.
So we thought, how can we use modern cloud, AI, chatbots, all of that type of technology to solve the problem. So we analyze the directory, we figure out what's missing, what's wrong and incorrect, and then we start a dialogue, an individual conversation with each user to get that information.
Oh, awesome, that's really cool. So the users, you're not kind of, not forcing them to go, they have a very easy way to go through and update their information in the directory and be able to keep things populated. And with that, I guess it empowers a lot of other solutions that other companies have solutions for, populating SharePoint, stuff like that, really making things easier for them.
Yeah, make it super easy for the user. And also do things like manage the workflow to make sure that they update it. And if you ignore the bot will chase you. The bot will find your information.
Oh, the bot finds you. That's great. I love it. So what's it like working with this guy?
He's good. He's great fun. Every now and then he gets a little bit, you see the CJ anger. So you just stay away. Let him have his space. No,
you've been talking with my wife, haven't you?
we've become very close mates, and our families are very close, and it's been a fantastic ride.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for letting me have an hour of his time every week to sit there and do
it's an hour. You didn't say it was going to be an hour.
Yeah. So you guys are here at the conference. What kind of reaction are you seeing from all the attendees?
It's been fantastic. You know, we couldn't be happier, I think. Just the interest in the product and customers and Microsoft. And we've got orders already coming in. So, you know, super, super happy.
Hey, sales are always good. It secures all, doesn't it?
At the end of the day, you can sell something.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people with the little fish on their badges running around. We jumped in the elevator today and we're going down the elevator and I see a guy with a fish. I'm like, oh, the fish is working. He just, he was completely out of it too. I don't think he had his coffee yet, but.
Yeah, the goal was if we can get an Uber
and
there's already a fish in the Uber, then we'd made it. So believe it or not, on the way here.
Oh, you got to be kidding
somebody
me.
Fished the Uber.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hey, Brian, thanks a lot for joining us and telling us a little bit about it.
Thanks so much for having us and great show, guys.
Cheers. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Okay. What else we want to talk about here? So we want to talk about some of the interviews we did this week, huh?
You have been manic this week.
Feels like it.
Yep, you've been running around with your microphone, sticking the dead kitten or whatever it's called.
It's called a dead kitten. It's great. Everyone laughs at it, but that's exactly what it is.
It does look a little bit like a kitten. I'm not sure about a dead one, but a big fuzzy ball into people's faces to go and interview them.
It's the best way to have a kitten.
We'll wander through a couple. We'll wander through a couple of these interviews and just let people know kind of what we've got coming up in the show.
Yep.
And some of the sort of the famous folks that you've been interviewing this last couple of days. I've been kind of busy at the show with Hyperfish and neglecting my cloud show duties with these interviews. So
you have not.
You've been holding the fort for us on this, but. I think probably first cab off the rank was Vittorio, who you interviewed about identity and Azure Active Directory and things like that. Came out in 148, I think it was.
Yeah, it was episode 148. I sat down with Vittorio, and I know that some people said something about the audio was a little low on it, and made a classic rookie mistake. It's not like I've been doing this for 3 years. I mean, I need a few more years under my belt doing it, but made a classic mistake with the microphone. So things got a little low, levels got a little low. If you had a hard time hearing it and you gave up, delete the episode and re-download it, because I did mix it again, and it sounds a little bit better. It's a little bit louder. Just be careful if you're doing Waze when you're in the car and driving, because when it tells you to turn left, it's going to scream at you because you're going to have the volume up. I already had one person complain about that one to me.
Nice.
But we talked about Azure Active Directory. We talked about B2C, business-to-consumer stuff. We talked about how the convergence, when Microsoft had the convergence project, where you've got Azure Active Directory and you've got the Microsoft accounts, and they really wanted they wanted to unify all of that. But that's not a trivial project, and that's one that you got to get right. I mean, they do a billion authentications in Azure AD every single day, and so you got to be careful with that. So what they did is they built a proxy on top of both of them, and then a proxy on the whole thing to kind of get in to make it one unified experience, and to do that, one of the things they had to do is they looked at the Azure Active Directory Authentication Library, ADAL, A-D-A-L, and they said, you know, what we have right now isn't going to cut it. They've learned a lot over the years with ADAL, and they said, we need a new model of doing authentication. And one of the things that's nice about this new model, it's called the Microsoft Authentication Library, the MSAL. Comes in a bunch of different flavors, a bunch of ways you can use it. One of the things that's nice about it is that instead of taking a tenant-based approach, where the first thing you do with their authentication piece was, let's first talk about what's the tenant. Now you're instead saying, what's the application and getting information that way so that you can have an application that's going to talk to multiple tenants and assume it's going to talk to multiple tenants and not just one tenant. It's a much better approach.
I also noticed, I don't know if you grilled them in this in the episode about it, I haven't had a chance to listen, but they recently stopped you creating Microsoft accounts that are already Office 365 accounts to try and get around the craziness that is the Microsoft identity landscape right now in terms of having two accounts with the same email address and logging into one thing and you think you're logging into the other and then it not working quite right. And so they're starting to try and pull those apart to make life better for some folks.
Yeah, I talked to them a little bit about that, but not during the show. We did that a little bit offline because frankly, I was trying to get a little bit of info for myself because I'm in that boat. I've created a Microsoft account or a live account or passport, whatever, you know, all the way back. I use my personal email, which is my primary email for work and everything.
You fell into the hole, didn't you?
I'm in the trap. I am in that. I'm in that group. I'm in that group that has. I type in my email address, and it asks me, "What is it? Are you going for a personal account? Or are you going for a work or organization account?"
Yep.
And if you had different passwords on each one, thankfully LastPass makes it nice and easy. But they came out with some news recently that goes that you're not going to be able to do like vanity domains. You're not going to be able to custom domains if you do a Microsoft account. You're going to have to use an Outlook.com. Mm. And then they said, well, here's how you can take your existing account and switch it over and use a new email address. And I wanted to ask him, I'm like going, how well does that really work? Because there's no way in hell that I'm going to give this a shot and be one of the early guys and get lose access to my personal account, which is...
Kiss goodbye to Xbox.
Xbox, MSDN, Azure.
Yeah.
I lose access to everything if I do that. I mean, I've got I love to have it unified. I get that. I'd love to have the email addresses separate.
You just don't want to be first.
I'm not going to be first. I know. I talked to somebody else who said, yeah, it works great. He told me, he goes, yeah, it works great. I'm like, unless you are going to be on the phone when my stuff breaks, I said, do I have to do it? He goes, no, you don't have to do it today. He's like, are you going to do it? I'm like, nope. Not until you force me to do it. I am terrified. It may work
pretty
great.
Scary.
I am scared to death of that.
So you've had some other great interviews. We talked a little bit about MyCam. We did a recap of the conference a little bit in 149.
Yeah, episode 149.
We covered more of that keynote news and so forth. We've got some other SharePoint celebrities and Office 365 folks. Todd Baginski, Teabag, Jason Himmelstein, John White, who are... were kicking around.
Yep.
Randy Driscoll as well, who's awesome. Jeremy Thake from the Azure team.
Yep, I did. Yeah, we had all of those, a bunch of those. By now, all of those episodes should be out. They've been dripping out over last night and this morning. I didn't go to the Red Party last night. I know everybody was out. I watched it on Twitter. I was a little bummed that I didn't go.
I'm a little husky.
Yeah, that's why this is a lot more fresh.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, thanks, buddy. There was a lot of yelling last night. It was very loud, but it's super fun.
I suspect, yeah.
Yep.
We'll talk a little bit more. I got to see something last night, though, that I know you guys didn't get to see that blew my mind. But,
all right, cool.
We talked to Todd Baginski about his experience in building stuff. These are those little Ignite Wire short episodes that we talked about doing. Randy Driscoll, John Ross, Jeremy Thake about some of the work he's doing over in Azure. We talked to Taylor Brown. That's going to be in episode 155. And we got a few other episodes that are scheduled as well for some folks as well. Talking about maybe Service Fabric, talking about to Jeff Teeper as well around Office 365 and SharePoint and OneDrive. So a bunch of different stuff.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
So... Hey, another thing that we like to do on our show is we like to take listener questions.
Yeah.
Right?
So I was just checking the Twitters to see if people were asking questions. There's a couple that's come in. So
awesome.
Why don't you get started and we'll see if we can address a couple of those.
We can do that. Yeah. So we had one that was actually emailed into us ahead of time by David Gilbert. So David, thank you very much for sending this in. He says, gents, well, he got that one wrong. There's no way you'd call us gentlemen. But he said, I'd be interested in asking one question on the live show at Ignite. What are your thoughts on all the options and roadmap that Microsoft is offering/following with regards to collaboration tools in Office 365, SharePoint team sites, Office groups, Planner, OneDrive.
They always like to keep us on our toes,
don't
they?
Oh, yeah. We could keep filling in that blank. Going. He said et cetera, but we could go a long way with that. So you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was at Microsoft 12 months ago now, so I feel like I've had my 1 year of chip extraction and so forth. and now I see it from the outside. So... this is super confusing, but also quite cool to see in some regards. So there are lots and lots of choices of things, new technology coming and stuff. But the frustrating part is customers look at it and say, well, am I betting on the right horse?
Yeah.
Is this something that's going to just die in 12 months' time, or is it going to get neglected and I'm going to have invested, you know, millions adopting it and then for it only to go away? And I think, you know, Yammer is at the top of that list, right? And now we're seeing groups coming out with, you know, obviously conversations and so forth are in there. And then there was this big leak a couple of weeks back about this new thing called Skype Teams, which I've had great fun talking to Microsofty this week. What do you think of Skype Teams? And they're like, what's that?
There was,
and I was like, oh, please, come on.
I had an opportunity to go to like a briefing for the keynotes and hear about all the stuff that was going to get announced. And that question was asked, and I won't say which one, but one of the executives that was there was just like, we don't really talk about things that are not announced or anything, that are products that are not really out there. I'm like, oh.
Somebody announced it. Wasn't you.
It wasn't you. You might not have had a role in it, but it's out there now. We know it's coming.
Yeah, there were screenshots that leaked about Skype Teams and things. Apparently it was a big leak.
How do you feel about the guy whose mugshot's in the top corner there? Because it clearly came from his machine.
So I have it on good authority that he was not the source.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody took a screenshot of a video that was actually sent around inside Microsoft, and that guy was just the poor scapegoat that everybody thought had leaked but wasn't.
Yikes.
So, yeah, anyway, back to the topic. It is super confusing, right? There's all these different things, and people don't know what to bet on, and they've got to make a choice. And I'd like to see some consolidation. I think we're starting to see groups really picking up the mantle.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great offering, you know, when it first came out. Mm. It was very sort of exchange heavy and email heavy.
Mm.
Now SharePoint's in there.
Mm.
Yammer is starting to consolidate a little bit with the way groups work.
Mm-hmm.
So groups in both places being the same thing, same sort of construct at least.
Hopefully we see Skype Teams, the Slack competitor.
The rumored thing.
Yeah, rumored thing that we all know is probably coming. hopefully we'd like to see that have some integration with groups. That would make sense as well.
It would be ridiculous if it didn't. I mean, people would just be, what?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. So I think things are coalescing around groups, and it might just take a little bit of time for that to continue and consolidate, but that's nice to see, because hopefully we'll go from the five or six things now to sort of the one or two things, depending on the scenario that you're interested in. So
this isn't unique just to the office group too, because I know we've talked a little bit too about some of the challenges that we have over in Azure with, like, let's say I want to do containers in Azure. It's like, what are your options there? Like, well, you can do the Azure Container Service. You can host it on IaaS VMs. You can go have Docker Cloud go through and manage them for you. You can now do Service Fabric can have containers as well. So it's kind of like, you know, it's still, we're not at the point where I know you and I want us to be, where we're going to be at the containers as a service. I just want to give you my container and say, scale it up to this many instances. I don't care how many hosts you have to stand up. I don't care how many virtual machines. Just go off and run. I mean, very much like the way that, like, you know, the websites or the Azure web apps work in that PaaS offering, where it's like, I give you a website and scale it up. You know, let things just run.
I mean, at Hyperfish, we run all our stuff in Docker on Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to know about virtual machines and networking and all of that IT pro malarkey.
I'm a developer.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care about servers.
I just crank poor code.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of that, I just want container as a service. Mm. And I think Azure are getting there slowly, but again, it is a little confusing with multiple offerings. But I think that they're focused on getting us there eventually, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's an Azure thing, that's a Docker thing. I know like the Googles and the Amazons are doing that same thing as well, and it's going to be interesting to see over the next year or so how that plays out. Now, you and I talked early in this year about, you know, we thought that this year was going to be like the story around the orchestration of all the containers, and we saw that from DockerCon back in June. With Swarm, Docker Swarm coming into the Docker engine as core.
Yeah.
A lot of attention around Kubernetes in the marketplace. Yep. A lot of attention around Mesos. So a lot of options are good, right? But it can still be challenging to figure out what's the best option.
What do I do?
Yeah,
exactly. And then in the container space now, Windows is coming to the party, right? So .NET developers, you know, building things like .NET Core projects, ASP.NET projects, Node projects running on Windows. You'll be able to run a Windows container. And like I've said many times on the show, I don't think Microsoft dev community really get what containers can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And those coming to the Windows world, you know, G8 and Windows Server 2016, like you said, and you're able to do them on Windows 10 as well. But I think that's really going to change the way you build applications and deploy applications as well. And I think we'll see Azure offering new things in that space.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Jeremy Thake, you know, is a good friend of ours, and he was in the office space, and then he moved over and is does marketing with app services,
right? The Osbritikin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Osbritikin. And we've talked to him, he's asked us a lot about, you know, containers, why do you like all that kind of stuff, what's up with app service? And my response to him is always that, you know, I use Azure App Service, I use the web apps, but the challenge I have with it, and it works great, challenge I have with it is that I can't get it to work on my machine. I can't get it to work on a Windows machine or a Mac or whatever because it's a hosted PaaS. Yeah. And I got to build the code and I deploy it up and I wait for it and I let it run. The thing I like about containers is that I can see it run here, I can see it run there, I can see it anywhere. Dr. Seuss, here we go. but I can see it with a Windows machine, I can ship it to AWS, Google, whatever. I mean, I've got a product I'm working on right now and I haven't decided what cloud I'm going to put it on, leaning towards Azure, but it doesn't matter right now. It's all containers.
Right.
So it's telling him, it's like, that's the same kind of thing we want. I mean, I think Microsoft is hearing that from more and more people, and they're in a really good position to do something about it.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see where this goes over the next few months, next 6 months, year, who knows.
Yeah, Microsoft was too early to the party with PaaS many years ago. Ray Ozzie was with Microsoft, and his whole mission was PaaS, right? He really wanted to build a PaaS platform, and they built a kick-ass PaaS platform.
Mm-hmm.
The world just wasn't quite ready for it, and they were used to virtual machines and networking and boxes, and hence AWS, you know, took off around in the IaaS space, and Microsoft had to catch up. Now, of course, Microsoft's doing pretty well in the IaaS space.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing really well in the PaaS space, but people are still not quite there, and containers are kind of like the halfway house to PaaS.
It really is, and I'll throw one thing out there too, that you and I had an interview when we talked to Mike Yam, and off the record, well, I shouldn't say it's off the record, we stopped recording because we can still talk about this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mike says, you know, he listens to the podcast, which is pretty cool.
I was surprised.
I was too, yeah. I was very surprised.
I'm surprised anybody listens, to be honest.
I know, me too. I just think that my parents and your wife, and I saw one person with the kids on Twitter is actually watching the podcast.
They're forcing their poor children to listen to
us. I know, they're having breakfast
terrible.
And the poor kids, what hey kids, how you doing? I hope you're still watching.
I'm not paying for your therapy later in life, sorry.
But enjoy your breakfast. Make sure you rinse out the bowl before you put it in the sink. Don't let the stuff get all crusty and mom find out after lunch. But the thing that when we talked to Mike about it, Mike was like, you know, when I listen to your show and I hear you guys talking about containers and it's interesting, and he said that, you know, the thing that the way he kind of judges it of how he can kind of get his brain wrapped around it is it a technology he can pick up over the weekend? Because, you know, you're busy during the week, you want to spend time with the family on the weekend, you don't want to spend your entire weekend doing it, so can I pick this up? I was like, I think this is kind of, it was my challenge to Mike, but I think it's my challenge really to anybody that does this on the Windows side. You know, I think that, you know, over breakfast, let's just say on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, over breakfast, click around and read a few links, right? For containers on Windows, go aka.ms/containers, go to docker.com, click getting started, install Docker for Windows, go through the Hello World thing. It literally took me 20 minutes to do it, and that's before we had all the extra tools that we have today on a hotel Wi-Fi, so that says something.
especially
and it was
at a conference.
And me, I mean, it was right. And then the next thing is, you know, trying to build just something simple, build a console app, build a web app, and look at what it does. And I think that I listened to people talking about it for about a year,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that I got it until I sat down and actually played with it, and then it was finally, when I finally did it myself, I was like, okay, that now my mind's being a little blown. Now I actually get it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So we had a couple of comments on Twitter. One guy says, great live show, wondering if you guys heard anything about content types, workflows, MMS, anything new there?
No. I think that your answer there. So, Kieran, thank you very much for the question. I think that the story for around workflow, which is kind of funny because like, I came from the WCM side, a little bit of ECM stuff, a lot of content types, a lot of managed metadata, a lot of taxonomy. I did some courses for Pluralsight on workflows.
My co-founder founded Nintex before we started Hyperfish.
Yeah, the whole like workflow manager thing. It's like, I wouldn't invest there right now. I mean, I look at like Microsoft has products like Flow, and they have like the Power Apps for going to collect stuff, collect information. There's really nothing new there. It's really about that's kind of going away. And I saw another conversation with some people on Twitter the other day where they were, or actually in a Skype network I'm in, they go, you know, this whole thing, I don't see anything with content types or enterprise content types and replication and MMS. You know, should we just tell people to stop clarifying that stuff and just throw it in? And they're like, yeah, we probably should. So I'm like, I wouldn't do it anymore. I just kind of.
Yeah, I think we'll see the SharePoint team pivot on this a little bit and start focusing on workflow a little more.
Yep.
Whether it's them that are building it, or Azure that are building it, or partners that are building it. But in terms of around, you know, ECM type topics, content types and documents and things, I think we'll see them focus a little bit more on that going forward. Just because it's so core to SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment they were getting started with the, you know, spinning the team back up around around the work they're doing with the SharePoint framework and things. But it's one of those kind of core areas of SharePoint that's what people use SharePoint for.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe that they'll let it sort of die on the vine.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see some things going on there.
Yep. So hey, in the last 5 minutes we have for the show here, another thing that we like to do is we like to have our picks.
Yes.
Right? So we got a couple picks. I'm going to do one of mine first. And I sat in the conference in the hotel last night while you guys were at the Red Party, and I watched the SpaceX.com/Mars live feed that was going on in Mexico, where Elon Musk got up and told about his plans to go to Mars. And you got to go watch it.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The guy is just too cool. He's too cool. I'm not going to spend a ton of time looking at this, SpaceX.com/Mars, but here's the thing this is what shows the guy's just, he's from a different world, but
to go to Mars, so maybe he's trying to get home.
He wants to go to Mars. It actually came up a few times. He said, the ship is broken up into two pieces. You got the booster, you got the ship at the top, and you got all the engines at the bottom. The ship at the top is going to be called the Heart of Gold. The thing at the booster at the bottom is going to be called the Infinite Improbability Drive, right? So what are those? That's straight out of the Infinite Improbability Drive was the thing that launched the ship called Heart of Gold in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. And
Galaxy?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Guess how many engines are on the bottom of the booster?
42.
42 engines. I love the guy.
The guy's making geeks cool again, right? Like, it's actually pretty sweet. I heard him talk in Seattle at a SpaceX launch event for literally their satellite office.
Yeah.
That makes or is working on their satellites.
Yeah.
And the press weren't allowed in, and I'm not surprised, because he went off the rails in terms of what he was talking about, and I wouldn't have invited press either if I was a PR person.
Yeah.
But he basically said everything he's done in his life is all about getting to Mars.
Yep, yep.
He wants to go to Mars, so he's got to put satellites up into space so that he can get a good internet connection to Mars. So he's building satellites, and to get satellites up, he needed to go build SpaceX, and to build SpaceX, he needed money, so that's why he did Tesla.
Yep.
And to get electric cars, he needed power, so that's why he did SolarCity. And then and to get SolarCity, he needed a whole bunch of money, so he did PayPal. So the guy's life has been all about getting to Mars,
I love it.
It's either a complete accident or he's a total genius and he's planned it out since birth.
But I'm going to take the latter.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. The guy's a freak. It's awesome.
So you got a pick for us?
I do. A little bit more down to earth. And this one may bring you down to earth really, really quick in a hurry if you're not careful. There's this Colombian Cree jet. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's this tiny little plane that I swear to God is no bigger than this desk.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture here. It's a little cramped.
It's like you're hopping into an egg carton. Let's just say that. It looks like it's made out of paper mache.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's stuck together with duct tape, cotton balls, and string. But it's this tiny little plane, and they put a couple of props on it. And normally they just have this propeller-driven thing. But this dude bought these two jetpacks and strapped it to this plane. And there's this video of him hopping in, and he's, I don't know if you can see this, but he's sort of like this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he's in this jet, and then I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty cool amusement park ride. And then he's like, punch it, Chewie. And he's off into the sky.
You know what this is? This is the pre-Darwin Award thing. This is what this is what a Darwin Award candidate. This is what they look like when they're alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we're gonna. The next video we see of him is gonna be on the side of a cliff. But
that actually was a Darwin Award winner. The guy stole the rocket pack.
Well, that's the jetpack thing that I saw last time.
Yeah.
What about you? What else have you got?
You know what? We're gonna leave it with just. I think we just do like one pick a piece. I think we're running out of time here.
All right, no worries.
But hey, man, this has been a lot of fun. 3 years here doing the podcast with you. I say we do it for at least another 3 years. It's been a ton of fun. The live show has been a great opportunity. I'd like to thank the people at Microsoft and Ignite for letting us do this. And
absolutely.
Yeah, man.
It's a really cool new thing for Ignite.
Yeah.
Having podcasters and other folks, you know, broadcasting live from the show. We got the expo floor in the background.
Yep.
It's awesome to be here. And again, to Microsoft, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for being a Great co-host, man. Thanks to all of you listeners that are listening to it and everybody
and
that showed up here.
And our live studio audience.
Yeah. Anyway,
so yeah, we'll see you next week over Skype again.
It sounds good. Thank you very much.
Cheers.